welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast with me, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy. Every week in this podcast, I talk to an author about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. My guest today is Brendan Shields, who is also known as author BP Shields. Brendan has been writing for pleasure all his life, but it took a trip to China to inspire him to write his first book. In fact, three books. After reading the 16th century Chinese classic Romance of the Three Kingdoms, Brendan was inspired to pick up pen, yes, quite literally a pen, and write the Rise of the Three Kingdoms trilogy, which is a modern retelling of the classic story. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Brendan, it's so lovely to meet you today. Please tell me about your books.
Well, actually, I've just completed the third of the trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I've got some various friends and members of the family reading through the proofs at the moment to give me back advice. So I've got two published. I'll sort of fill you in on the background of it. As I went about 2010, I think, we went on a holiday to China, which was an absolutely fantastic experience. And when I came back, I just wanted to sort of devour as much Chinese history and culture as I could. And I was reading the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, which is a classic Chinese novel. It's 110 chapters long, and it's thousands of characters. And I've got to admit, it was a bit of a tough going. And I thought, well, I wonder if there's a book out there that either, you know, gives a kind of a novel type approach to it, you know, like people have at the moment are writing novels about the Greek and Roman legends, you know. And I couldn't find anything. As you know, Lindsay Woodward is my daughter, and she's an author. Yeah. And we were having this conversation one day, and she said to me, "Well, if there's nothing out there, Dad, why don't you write it?" And I mean, I've always written, but sort of written for pleasure, never really took myself seriously as a writer, just for myself. But then I thought, well, why not, you know?
There's why not indeed?
So I did that. I wrote the first one, Warlords of the Eastern Han. And I did send it out to various agents, but I was getting this message back that, you know, while it was a worthy thing to do, it hadn't got a great popular appeal. And I suppose I have to recognise that, you know. But on the other hand, I do feel it's important that, you know, as we're becoming more and more aware of China and the world, as we are in the West, people should have access to, you know, to accessible the stories from China. And I mean, they are fantastic stories, you know, like the Romance of the Three Kingdoms. You sort of compare it to what the Arthurian legends or the Greek, you know, story of Troy or something like that.
Okay.
I felt that, you know, I was going to try and at least make them accessible to people. So I've done that. My three novels cover the action from up to about chapter 51 in the original.
Okay, wow.
And it's a turning point, really. It's very much based on Chinese history, the fall of the Han Dynasty. But because it was written in the 14th century, there are these kind of magical elements in it and sort of mythical elements in it as well. And I've sort of tried to keep that as a flavour in the books. And I've tried to cut down the vast amount of characters that there are to sort of key characters and try and move the story around a little bit to kind of create drama and also promote some of the more female characters, because as you can imagine, it's absolutely, the original's dominated by male characters. So I've sort of promoted some of the female characters into the action.
That's interesting. Yeah. So is it kind of, have you sort of modernised the stories at all, or are they still very much set at that time, but they're just in a more more accessible language and less convoluted, I guess, with the fewer characters?
That's right. No, it's Chinese history. I'd say the original, the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, is sort of, I don't know, 75% history and 25% sort of myth and legend. So I've tried to make it very much historical based, but one character who plays an important part in early on, a female character called Dio Chan, has no historical basis. So I thought that I could use her, and I've promoted her. I've turned her into an enchantress who has various effects and affects events in various ways. And where there might be three battles or something, I've condensed it to one battle. The original is very much a very straightforward narrative. And I've sort of tried to create sort of cliffhangers and drama and so on from that. So
it's almost a sort of dramatised version of the history, but it's actually still very much rooted in history and in fact, rather than a fictional account.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, very much so.
So how do you go about the writing process?
That's an interesting... sort of doing all my research, first of all, and getting into my head the kind of approach that I want to take. But only sort of sketched out in my head, and then really sort of diving in. I'll write perhaps a chapter or two, and if I'm satisfied with that, I do it with a pen and paper.
Wow. I don't know how many people do pen and ink, write books in pen and ink these days.
I know. My wife's an excellent typist, so I'm spoiled. So she types it up for me.
Okay.
So that helps in a way that I write it in pen and ink, as you say, and then Chris will type it up. So that some of the sort of typos and glitches and so on can be removed then, and then I'll read through what she's typed. So that gives me another level of of checking on it. And then when I've completed it, I'll print out a proof copy, and both Chris and myself will read through it, and that will be a kind of, then I'll create a sort of second draft and change that. And then I'll send that proof copy to Lindsay and one or two other friends for their feedback on that. So it goes through various stages before it gets to the end, yeah.
And quite a few people see it before you publish it as well. So you get quite a lot of feedback on it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, about half a dozen people sort of will see it before before it goes to be published.
So talking of publishing, how have you published your books? Which route have you taken for publication?
Self-publishing.
Okay.
I did try to send it to agents, I read somewhere many years ago that J.K. Rowling had sent her Harry Potter to 12 agents before she was accepted. So I thought, well, we'll try 12 agents.
I suppose that's an arbitrary number of agents to try. That's as good as any, isn't it? If it worked for her, then
Well, I got to 9 agents, and some of them are very good with feedback. And I was getting this feeling that it's not going to be, you know, a blockbuster. It's not going to be very popular. And I knew that, really. I mean, I was not writing for a vast audience. I just wanted there to be a westernized version of this story out there for people who were interested in that. Talking to Lindsay again, I decided I'd self-publish, and that's the route I went.
So which self-publishing platform did you use?
Well, Amazon, I suppose it's the most straightforward, really. I know Lindsay's tried other routes as well, but I'm with Amazon.
So in terms of preparing the book for publication, do you do all that yourself, the cover and the sort of laying the book out and all that kind of thing?
I do all the preparing of the text. Lindsay's got a friend who's a designer who does her covers, and I asked him if he'd be willing to do my cover. I did have a look around on... I can't think of one of these websites that sell you pictures, you know. Can't think which one it was now. But anyway, I had a look around for suitable cover picture, and I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted in my mind, wasn't finding it. But finally I found... It's a kind of a montage picture, really, of a Chinese battle. I asked the Elish to pick out a detail from this and then to create the cover, and did that. And I was really pleased with the results. So,
The photo was from one of the stock photography sites online, iStockPhotos or something like that.
Yeah, I had to pay, was it £45 for it or something like that.
So. Okay, yeah. And then you used a designer to incorporate that into the cover design.
That's right, yes. And in fact, because it's quite a detailed photograph, I've actually been able to get 3 covers out of that for my £45, which isn't too bad at all, is it really?
That's quite good. So you've used different details, different sections of the one photo for all 3 covers.
That's right, yes. I mean,
would you recommend that people do use a designer to do their book cover rather than kind of having a go at it themselves?
If they can, very much so. It depends on their confidence with design, but I know that I would never have got the kind of impactful cover that I wanted if I'd done it myself.
And of course book covers are so important, aren't they, especially on Amazon, where sometimes all someone will see is that little thumbnail of your book.
That's right, I wanted something that would I've been to one or two places to promote my book. When would it be, 2019, in late autumn, there was a promotion thing in Lichfield Library for local authors. Several people coming around looking at my display, their first comment was, that's a striking cover. So that was nice to hear.
That's good. It does its job then. It does its job if it's caught their attention. So what have you learned about yourself through the writing process, through researching and writing the books?
That's a very good question. Well, Edith Piaf said no regrets, but, you know, I do regret that I hadn't started writing earlier, you know, because I feel that, you know, that I haven't done a bad job with this trilogy. You know, several people have said, have come back to me and said that they've enjoyed them. Back in my early 20s, I had this science fiction novel in my head, and I wrote early chapters, and I was going to get it to go forward with it. And then career and children got in the way. And I suppose really what I learned about myself was I did sort of lack confidence in myself a bit. Mm. You know, having done an English degree, you know, there was this feeling deep down somehow, well, you're never going to win the Booker Prize, you know, you're not an Ian McEwan or whatever. So you know, just write for pleasure. I got involved with the local library, and I was helping to run their reading groups. There's three reading groups at the local library, and my wife was part of one of the reading groups, and one or two of the books that the reading groups had, you know, to read, that my wife had to read, and she was saying, "Oh, this is awful. It can't be that bad." So I read the book and I thought, I could write better than that, and yet this is a published author, you know. another little element. And then, of course, Lindsay being a published author. Mm. You know, Lindsay writes romance with a kind of fantasy twist to it. You know, she's got her followers, the people who enjoy her writing. So I suppose I feel I should have had a more confidence in myself. And the other thing, I mean, I write poetry as well. Mm. And I've always written poetry just for myself. But recently I've got a little bit more involved with the kind of scene in Staffordshire with poets, and realised that there have been people out there who have been, you know, at poetry societies and groups who've shared poetry and writing. And I thought, should have been involved with this 20, 30 years ago, you know, not coming to it once you get retired, you know. Mm. So.
I guess it's proof, though, that it's never too late to start, is it?
Well, I suppose there is that, yes. Yeah. It's frustrating when all these things were beginning to blossom for me, and then the lockdown came along, and
I was going to say, has anything happened as a result of you becoming an author? You said about being at a couple of events in 2019. I guess maybe lockdown has affected how far you might have gone with the book so far.
Yes, I mean, I had plans for promoting it. By coincidence, two of the people who bought my book, strangers came across, were in fact Chinese, or, you know, born in China. My sister-in-law, who runs an evening class to teach people English as a second language, mm. she invited me to come out and talk about the writing process of my books. And one of the young women at this class was Chinese, you know, come over to this country, and she bought my book. And I got feedback through my sister-in-law about how she thought it was tremendous, you know, that because she knew the stories. When I took the book out and said, Warlords of the Eastern Han, and she says, Eastern Han, that's Chinese, she said, you know. Another author that I was in Lichfield, her son's wife was Chinese. And she, I also got feedback on how much that she enjoyed the book, you know. So I did have sort of plans to try and go to one or two of these university cities like Durham or Exeter, where there is a large Chinese intake, and see if I can get local bookshops to take some of my books to see whether they would sell, you know, as a means of just getting it going. But along came lockdown, and that's on the back burner for now, you know.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of things on pause at the moment, aren't there? But I mean, hopefully, yeah, maybe not this year, but next year, you know, things will be, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. So I do know that there are a lot of people who have taken up writing during lockdown over this last year. What tips would you give anyone who is either thinking of writing a book or in the middle of writing a book at the moment?
Do I feel qualified for giving people tips? I don't know.
Hang on a minute. You've got three self-published books out there. So you've been through the process. I'm sure you are.
It's a bit of an up and, I mean, it's obviously a bit of a lonely process writing on your own, and it can be a bit of an up and down process. There were times come along when I'm really into it. I think it's glowing, it's going really flowingly. And then I might meet some kind of problem with how to move the story on, you know, because I don't have, although it's the history is there, I don't have every step of the way planned, you know. It develops in my mind as I go forward, and you might come across a problem where something you've set up earlier isn't going to work, and I think you've just got to be patient then and retrace your steps and be willing to change things if necessary. Yeah. And then the other thing I would say is occasionally, at least for me, and I think Lindsay's admitted this as well, and I've heard other writers say it, there comes the big doubts, you know, is this really going to work? Is anybody going to be interested? And I think you've just got to, you know, say to yourself, no, we'll get this done, it can be done, you know, and not let the doubts creep in too much.
That's really important, I think. Yeah, it's so easy, like you said, it is a lonely business, and it's a long process, isn't it? You don't sit and write a book in 5 minutes, and I think while you're while you're toiling over it, I think, yeah, it probably is very easy to let those doubts creep in, and yeah, if you let them take over, you're not going to finish, are you? Because you just won't know what the point is. So
I'm revising my first novel again to put out a revised edition, simply because I was so desperate to get it out there that looking back on it now, you know, I can see, well, I've already been working on it, I can see whether I can just make it that little bit more, little better, you know. So I think you've got to accept that it is a long, involved process, and don't like me with the first one, get too anxious to get your first one out there too quickly, because it won't be at its best. The other thing I could say about that, about publishing on Amazon, when I first went in, you can either buy your own ISBN numbers, or Amazon can give you an ISBN number.
Yeah.
And I, for the first one, because it was all new to me and it seemed simpler, I let Amazon give me the ISBN number. And I went to the London Book Fair. Again, that must have been 2019. And we were speaking to people who you know, self-publishing people at the London Book Fair. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, no, you must have your own ISBN number, you know, because really it's never really your book without that. So with this revised edition, I'm going to give it my own ISBN number, so then it the whole trilogy will be, you know, under my ownership, so to speak.
Okay, yeah. No, that's really interesting. I know there was a time when there were two. There was a Kindle service and there was a service called CreateSpace that was Amazon's print self-publishing arm. And if you got your ISBN number through Amazon, it was listed as being a CreateSpace publication. But nowadays, it just goes down as independently published. But you're right, yeah. If you've got a series of books, it does make sense to buy. They're about £15 each, I think, aren't they? To buy a packet of ISBN numbers and to list them to your own name or your own publishing house or whatever. It kind of ties it in nicely then, doesn't it, if you've got that series?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And I can then take the old one from out of Amazon and just have the revised edition there.
Reissue it under the new ISBN number and just make sure it's the new edition that's out there. So what's next for you? You said you're revising the first book. You mentioned, I'm wondering, this sci-fi book that you mentioned, do you think that will ever see the light of day?
I don't think so, because events have sort of overtaken it a bit. In Star Trek, my mind goes blank. The cyborg characters in Star Trek.
The Borg.
Thank you.
The Borg. Okay.
My idea was quite similar to the Borg. Different in that the Borg, you know, take over whole civilizations and are this aggressive one. But my idea was that this civilization that communicates, you know, with thought, sees any other civilization who communicates with speech as being inferior and more animalistic. And Earth first comes in contact, you know, sending pioneers out first comes in contact, and it's that first contact with a civilization who consider themselves vastly superior because they don't use speech to communicate, you know.
Right, but then Star Trek stolen your idea then.
they came up with a very similar idea, yeah.
Okay.
Very similar idea. So, you know, it sort of superseded it. But anyway, I mean, I am researching my next novel, which is a love story, and it is Chinese based. It's the Yang Guifei, who is, you know. I was going to say it's the Romeo and Juliet of Chinese civilization, but it's only the Romeo and Juliet in that it's a tragic love story. But it is—it's a historical story, and the love affair that's involved helped to bring down the Tang dynasty. So we're talking about 500 years after the events that I've written about.
Okay.
In Chinese culture, there are operas on this story, there are television programs, there are feature films, you know, there are novelizations. The only thing I could find over here was a book that was published in 1923, I think.
Wow.
And it's Yang Guifei, the Chinese beauty or something like that. I managed to get hold of that in a very tattered old edition.
Wow, I bet.
To read it. No, that was part of my research. There was a film available on YouTube Lady of the Dynasty, it's called, which is on the story. So I thought, I'll look at that. And beautiful to look at, this Chinese film. I mean, the cinematographer, it was wonderful. But the actual film was, I think he got something like 4.0 or something on the International Movie Database.
Ouch. So you're writing the first Western translation, the first Western version of this love story since the 1920s, basically.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Good luck with that. That sounds like a really good project. So can people find you online if they want to find out more about you and your books?
I'm afraid I'm not a great publicist. My daughter Lindsay keeps prodding me and pushing me, and I suppose I ought to try. I have got a I am sort of on Facebook as BP Shields, which is the what I publish my books under. I ought to make more of an effort on that, but it's not so much an effort. I'm just not naturally a self-publicist, and
that's fair enough.
Hard to me. Of course, my books are available on Amazon. There's I think I mentioned the first one, the Warlords of the Eastern Hand. The second one's called A Wolf and Two Dragons, and the third one is Red Cliffs. And Red Cliffs in Chinese history is one of those battles that are sort of on a par to Agincourt or Waterloo in our culture, you know, one of the battles that are a turning point. So that's
it's a big deal, a big deal battle.
It is, yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah. Brendan, yeah. It's been fantastic talking to you today and finding out more about your books. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Being my guest on the show today. The three books of the Rise of the Three Kingdoms trilogy are Warlords of the Eastern Han, A Wolf and Two Dragons, and Red Cliffs, and they're all available on Amazon. You can also find Brendan on social media. Just look out for @BPS_author on Twitter or BP Shields on Facebook, and you'll also find the links in the show notes. If you've always enjoyed writing and have been inspired now to take that a step further and write a book, I can help you. Have a look at my website, www.theproofferry.com, and book a free exploratory call with me. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with info on how authors could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and review it. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with my dogs, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now! Bom dia, hello, and welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast with me, Alison Thompson, aka the Proof Fairy. Every week in this podcast, I talk to an author about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. My guest today is Brendan Shields, who is also known as author BP Shields. Brendan has been writing for pleasure all his life, but it took a trip to China to inspire him to write his first book. In fact, three books. After reading the 16th century Chinese classic Romance of the Three Kingdoms, Brendan was inspired to pick up pen, yes, quite literally a pen, and write the Rise of the Three Kingdoms trilogy, which is a modern retelling of the classic story. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Thank you to Brendan for being my guest on the show today. The three books of the Rise of the Three Kingdoms trilogy are Warlords of the Eastern Han, A Wolf and Two Dragons, and Red Cliffs, and they're all available on Amazon. You can also find Brendan on social media. Just look out for @BPS_author on Twitter or BP Shields on Facebook, and you'll also find the links in the show notes. If you've always enjoyed writing and have been inspired now to take that a step further and write a book, I can help you. Have a look at my website, www.theprooffairy.com, and book a free exploratory call with me. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with info on how authors could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and review it. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with my dogs, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now. So hello, Brendan. It's so lovely to meet you today. Please tell me about your books.